Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and explained. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. I'm guest hosting today, and I appreciate you letting me spend the time with you. I was texting Nick, our producer here. Stu Epperson asked me to be on the program today, and I was texting him and said, I'll do a sound check with you in about an hour, cleaning the barn. And so Nick and I was doing a sound check, and he said, now, is that the title of your program today, cleaning the barn? I said, no, Nick, I was cleaning the barn. I was literally in the barn cleaning the barn. And today's program is not cleaning the barn. And Nick is still laughing about that one, and I'm laughing even more. We live in Montana, and we have a barn, and I was cleaning it, and I'm glad to be with you all now. I'm a little bit dusty, and we've had a busy week out here. We moved a bunch of cattle off the property, had an old-fashioned cattle drive. We got up Sunday afternoon late. I pulled them out of one part of the pasture, brought them to the next one so we can get them off here, and then early Monday morning at 4:30, we're up before dark. And we're starting down the trail, and it was on horseback, and it's been quite a week here. So Stu had asked me yesterday if I could do it, and I've been tied up with all these things, and I said no, but I can do it Wednesday. And so I'm grateful to be here with you. Hey, if you want to be on the program, it's 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And there's so much going on in the world right now, but I wanted to start off with a scripture that I think is going to anchor us in some basic principles as we look at what's going on in the world. You're going to hear the term gaslighting a lot in the media for the next, until November 5th, until the election, because there's a lot of gaslighting going on. And how do we cut through all that? How do we cut through the lies? How do we cut through all this stuff that's going on? Well, as Christians, we have access to the truth with residing in us, which is the Holy Spirit, and Scripture, which the Word of God contains everything we need to know to cut through all of the deceits and so forth. Paul referenced a little bit of this in 2 Timothy 3, when he says in verse 1, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men." That is Scripture. That is the Word of God. And we need to be prepared for this because we're seeing this on full display. We saw this at the opening ceremony of the Olympics of what the world is wanting to do. And they're not even hiding it anymore. Okay? They're not even hiding it. So how is the church to respond? And it's rather embarrassing that the church is a little late to the party of being able to speak with clarity to this. And I was listening to Netanyahu's speech last week to Congress, and if you notice that he had a great deal of clarity and how he addressed the issues that are facing Israel. I mean, they are fighting for their life. There is no plan B. And he looked at these people that are protesting, and basically, and literally, he called them useful idiots of Iran. And when he talked about gays for Gaza, he said, you might as well be saying chickens for KFC. I mean, that's a level of pointedness and clarity that cuts through all these things that the Apostle Paul just laid out. And we're going to unpack this a little bit more as the program unfolds today. But it's important for us to have our head about us. We need to be prepared to speak with clarity into a world that is very much interested in obfuscating the truth. They're not wanting to hear this. I had a friend of mine was telling me that he's got this friend who's rather a self-proclaimed agnostic or even atheist, maybe. He said, there's no such thing as an absolute. And my friend was saying, you know, I didn't even know how to respond. You know, I've tried to explain. I said, no, you asked the wrong question. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, he says there's no such thing as an absolute. All you have to do is reply with one question. He said, well, what's that? I said, well, ask him, are you sure? Because we've got to speak with clarity into this. We've got to speak with wisdom and understanding in this world and not get embroiled in these stupid arguments where people are going to try to gaslight and try to manipulate things so that you don't even know which way is up or which way is down. And that's what Paul says right here. These people, look at that whole list. It's a pretty intense list that Paul has given. Disobedient to their parents, abusive, arrogant, proud, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. Does that sound like our culture today? Unappeasable? How do you reason with people who are promoting the things that they're wanting to promote? And I don't know that we have to reason with them, but I think we need to be prepared to speak to them with clarity. And the church right now is having a very difficult time figuring out some of the basics, sadly. And that can't be the case. And so today I wanted to spend a little time on that. If you want, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. My program that I normally host is a program for family caregivers. And if that's something you want to delve into, if you call, I'd be glad to swerve into that as well. The things that we discussed for family caregivers, and I've been a caregiver for 4 decades through a medical nightmare, and there's nothing like doing that to provide clarity of thought, to help one understand what is essential and what is not essential. Okay? That crucible of challenges. So we're going to unpack a little bit more of that today and see how the clarity that I've learned through it, and hopefully you will as well, and find it meaningful as well. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Truth Talk Live. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us today. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have some things on your mind that you want to talk about, we're talking about today of learning to speak with clarity into a lot of the craziness that we're already seeing, and we're going to see more of. It's going to get amped up for the next several months until we get through this election. Then we're going to switch gears and go into new levels of craziness, depending on how this thing goes. And as Christians, I think we have a responsibility to be of sound mind in this, because we have access to the truth, the Word of God. And if that doesn't conform our minds, to Christ, not to this world. What does Jesus say? He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, this is what Paul was writing through the Holy Spirit's tutelage. And, you know, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Our minds are easily befuddled and besmirched in this nut house that we're living in right now. And so if we don't have that clarity of thought, how are we going to be able to speak to a world that is in deep trouble? One of the things I talk about with my fellow caregivers, by the way, I also have the caregiver keyboard up. And if you've got a hymn that you want to hear, I'm not going to play any song, but if you've got a hymn that you want to hear that's meaningful to you, I'll give it a stab if I can. And I'm not going to play Name That Tune, but if you've got something you want to hear, I'll be glad to try to do that. But you got to tell me why that hymn is important to you. But one of the things I talk about with my fellow caregivers, we live in this very difficult set of circumstances where the pressure is on all the time. There's always a crisis day in and day out for so many people. 65 million Americans right now are serving as a family caregiver. And when you throw in how many people are in a relationship with an alcoholic or an addict, the numbers just grow even more. Mental illness and things, people don't even consider themselves a caregiver. I did a bit with Jeff Foxworthy many years ago on You Might Be a Caregiver If, because a lot of people don't even know that they are. I mean, we would say things like, you know, if you have a professional carpet cleaner on retainer, you're probably a caregiver. Or, you know, if you've ever hooked up your wife's wheelchair to your dog just to see if it would work, which I have done, by the way. And, you know, we don't necessarily consider ourselves as such, but we are in relationship with people with chronic impairments. And when you are in a relationship with somebody with a chronic impairment of any kind, whether it be mental, physical, pharmaceutical, whatever the impairment, there's always a caregiver, and that always creates a stress level. And we got to deal with certain things. We got to learn how to speak with clarity in it. We got to learn how to work with doctors and nurses and counselors and so forth. We've got to know where is solid ground. Do we have that same level of intensity in our day-to-day life as believers? Or do we just kind of sit over here and John 3:16 ourselves? We stand on the promises, but we're sitting on the premises. And we're not really pushing ourselves to learn and grow and to be able to go out into this world and fulfill what Jesus asked us. He didn't ask us to do it. He told us to do it. Preach the gospel and make disciples. It's preach and teach. We're not responsible for getting people saved. We're not responsible for people being convicted of their sins. We're responsible to tell them the truth. And this is a world that doesn't want to hear the truth. But that doesn't alleviate us from that responsibility. In fact, they crucified the one who was the truth. You know, Jesus came and, you know, said, look, they're doing this to me. What makes you think they're not going to do it to you? But that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility. Is the servant greater than the master? No. So how do we speak this way? And I talk about this a lot on my program to my fellow caregivers. And I wrote a book called A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Money. They're little one-minute chapters. And I know I timed every one of them. And this is one I just put out on my Substack page. You can go out to, if you want, it's caregiver.substack.com. Or you can get there from my website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. But every caregiver recalls moments when harsh words flew out of our mouths. Words we desperately wish to reclaim. Emotions often churn in our hearts like a blender on puree, and for caregivers, the top seems to fly off and create a mess. Does that sound like something you've ever been in? Whether expressing frustration or just reaching a boiling point, we can quickly find ourselves spewing words like a fire hose, often destructively. So when we see things that cause us angst, we tend to pop off sometimes and get into an argument, and it just always leads to unpleasantness. And I go on to say in this particular chapter, arguing with an impaired loved one suffering from dementia, mental illness, or addiction is pointless. Do you ever get the feeling as you watch the news, these people that are out there just screaming at the camera over Israel, over this, over that, over abortion? And by the way, this election is going to be the Boer election, B-O-R. Write that down. It's going to be about the border. It's going to be about abortion. The Boer election. I just coined that myself. Unleashing our vexations on family, friends, coworkers, or medical providers only heaps more guilt and sorrow on our already bruised hearts. Yet we still need to express ourselves. The healthier outlet for these feelings is with a trained mental health professional, support group, and even a virtual one, clergy, or a trusted friend. We may have to hold our tongues between those moments, albeit with great effort. However, the good news is that we rarely need to make amends for something we didn't say. So it's important to use discernment and discretion when knowing what to say or what not to say. You know, they give medals for discretionary valor these days. You can write that one down too. Ambrose Bierce. I don't know if you remember the author of that, but he wrote this great quote. He said, "Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." You will make the best speech you will ever regret. So we don't need to go into this angry. And I see this with when we see this outrage, and we are outraged. We are indignant about what's going on in our world around us. The thing from the opening ceremony of the Olympics is a perfect example. What are your thoughts on that, by the way? And we have a right to be outraged about this, but we don't have a right to just unleash our tongues and just lay into people or argue with it or try to appease people or try to somehow reason with unreasonableness. We need to be measured in our words. We need to be forthright. We need to have clarity. And otherwise, we're just getting into just a shouting match with people. And if you're a caregiver listening to this program and you're thinking, wow, that's my life. Well, yeah, it is for many caregivers. I know so many people are dealing with an addict in their life, and there's just an argument all the time about addiction and alcoholism. There's a lot of gaslighting going on because alcoholics lie. That's the number one thing they do. They lie. And so when you're not dealing with, when you're dealing with somebody who doesn't speak in the truth, who is deceiving themselves and trying to deceive others, you're not going to do any good to argue with them. You know, I mean, it's pointless. If you look at these people screaming at the cameras, at these protests that you're watching on television on a regular basis now, where it's just everywhere, how effective is it to get out and argue with these people? What do you think? I mean, is that something you want to take a stab at? You can't reason with some of these people. So that's not the point of what we do, but we need to be prepared at a moment's notice to speak with clarity, to let them hear the truth. Whether they receive it or not, we're going to let them hear it. But in order for that to happen, we have to be able to speak clearly. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to be on the program. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back. Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you to talk about the things that are going on in our world with theology, with politics, with cultural events from a biblical point of view and know how to be able to speak to it with clarity. If you want to be on the program, 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. I want to welcome all the folks that are listening in the upstate of South Carolina on this network in Greenville-Spartanburg area, and I'm glad to have you with us. That is from where I'm originally from. I was born and raised down there, moved to Nashville, lived there for 35 years, got tired of the traffic in Music City, USA, and we decided to move to Montana. And we live out here way up in the Rockies, 10 miles from a paved road, and the only traffic I have to deal with is the odd cattle drive, of which I participated in the other day, and then sometimes you have some deer and elk and not many buffalo roaming around, even though we have plenty of antelope out here. So I enjoy that component. The winters get a little dicey at times, so it's not for everybody, but we like it. There's no such thing as bad weather out here, they say. That's just bad clothing. But if you want to find out more about what I do and the work that we were doing with family caregivers, and my wife also has a prosthetic limb outreach that she started after giving up both of her legs called Standing with Hope. We provide prosthetic limbs. You can see all of that out at hopeforthecaregiver.com, hopeforthecaregiver.com. It's all there, and I'd love for you to take a look and see what your thoughts are. I want to go back to the conversation we're having about gaslighting. Again, you're going to hear that word a lot, mostly because it's what's happened every time you turn on the news. I watch them manipulate and take things out of context, or just nowadays they're not even taking it out of context. They're just out and out lying to you. I mean, you see it almost every broadcast. If you're really doing a fact check, you know, remember that lady who Mary Poppins her way through the misinformation thing, and she sang that tune about that. I mean, it was the most cringing thing of all. But they, if they had somebody really fact-checking journalists, and that's part of the reason we're in the situation we're in as a country right now. We have several reasons, but one of them is we have a media, a journalist profession that's not doing their job, because their job is not to be liked by the people in power. Their job is to question the people in power. That's the whole point of the First Amendment. And we're not using that properly because we have people that have abandoned those ideals. The second reason, and I love that Joe Biden came out the other day and wanted term limits for the Supreme Court, but he didn't want term limits for Congress. And I wrote about this a while back about when these people stay in Congress too long. My brother was telling the story once of the Strom Thurmond, a senator from South Carolina many years ago, who was in his 90s there, and he was at a reception, and they looked over, and he's stuffing buffalo wings down in his coat pocket, and the sauce was dripping out of his coat pocket, and the aides quickly ushered him away. And the guy was fourth in line to the presidency at that point. And then you have you saw the thing with Dianne Feinstein and so many others who stay beyond. We got a congressman from Georgia who was concerned about Guam tipping over when we put too many Marines on it. Go look it up. Don't take my word for it. Just go look it up. He said the word. He was concerned that there were so many Marines being stationed on Guam that it would tip over. So you got that problem going on with Joe Biden's coming out saying we need to limit the Supreme Court because, as Karine Jean-Pierre said the other day, that they are a threat to democracy. Everything's a threat to democracy that they don't agree with. Have you noticed that? And so that's the kind of thing that you're going to see more and more with gaslighting and trying to tell you that you really don't know what's going on. And I will tell you, one of my not first experience with this, but one of the most glaring experiences I had with this was in a church conflict. You know, there ain't no fight like a church fight. And this was some years ago, and I remember going to one of the elders of the church. I said, look, what's going on? He said, well, it's complicated. I said, no, my wife's medical history is complicated. You know, read me into this. I think I can keep up. You know, I've done pretty well with that. I've navigated through all that quagmire of 100-plus doctors and 13 different hospitals. I think I could keep up. So he said, no, you know, it's complicated. And then I was talking to another elder, and he didn't want to tell me anything, by the way. This guy didn't want to bring, he didn't want to go there. He kind of huffed a little bit. So I went to another elder, and I said, what's going on? He said, well, you don't know the history. I said, well, the church is only 25 years old, and I've been here 15 years of that. So what am I missing? You know, and I'm engaged at the church. And I realized those two statements are really foundational when people are trying to gaslight you and tell you things that you keep you in your place. You're not smart enough because it's too complicated. You're just not smart enough. You need to leave that to us. Or you're not important enough. You don't know the history. You see what they did there? And that's the kind of thing that happens. And then there's a third tool that they use. And I want you to see these things because once you see it, you can't stop seeing it. It's there in front of you all the time. And the other one is these people, when they're trying to do these things, they will accuse you of what they do. So every time you hear them saying, well, you are, or he is, they're saying, really, I am. Okay, follow that bouncing ball a little bit. So they are accusing you of what they do. And that is how they manipulate the conversation. And as Christians, we're called upon to be gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. Well, are we handling these kinds of things with wisdom? Are we speaking into these things with wisdom and discernment and understanding? Or are we just constantly playing defense? And if you'll notice something about Jesus, and I didn't really see this until I started doing a deep dive. God, throughout the entire Old Testament, and then when Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament, but if you notice, God doesn't play defense. Do you notice that? Go look at a situation where God is playing defense. It's not there. Jesus never went on defense. And he's not, you know, trying to say, well, you need to understand. No, he is speaking with clarity. And I love the word kairos, because that's that Greek word for time, appointed time. And you'll see that in Scripture a lot. At that time. This was not reactive. This was deliberate, intentional, decreed by God. And we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit resides in us. We have the truth of God in Scripture. Are we just casually in a relationship like that? Are we able to go into this world? I read to you from in Timothy, where Paul was saying, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, Paul was pretty exhaustive in this list of, this is what you will find, the human condition on full display. And a lot of people think, you know, I'm a sinner because I sin. No, you sin because you're a sinner. I sin because I'm a sinner. We are sinners. And we don't realize how big a problem this is. And even saved from the wrath of God through the redemptive work of Christ, we are spending a lifetime in sanctification. That's a word we don't talk about a lot, because that's when people get nervous. But God is interested in a pure and holy bride. Is he coming back to one? Well, he is, and he's going to make sure of it, but it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people. We have a responsibility to study and show ourselves approved, to be able to speak with clarity the truth of God to a world that is openly now, I mean, without any reservation, railing against that truth, just like they did with Jesus. And Jesus said it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. So that's the bad news. The good news is our God is sovereign. If he is Lord at all, then he is Lord of all. And he didn't ask us as consultants. He asked us to be obedient. So are we going into these troubled places? Are we going into this quagmire stuff? Are we going to be arguing and trying to be amateur apologetics, you know, professors? Or are we going to go in there with the calmness and assurance of the gospel and speak with it and let God deal with the results of it? Look at what's going on just again, with the Olympics, the whole transgender thing, all these kinds of things. What is our responsibility to this? Do we take clarity, the truth of the gospel with clarity to a troubled world? Yeah, we do. Are we doing it? Well, that's a question we're going to keep talking about. This is Peter Rosenberger, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're talking today about some of the things that are going on in our culture right now, in our media and our airwaves and news and everything else. You're going to see a lot more of this. I want myself and others to be as prepared as possible to understand how to push back on this. And, you know, we are woefully unprepared for it. I mean, the lies that are coming forth, and the term gaslighting is used a lot. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background on this so you'll know what I mean by this. There was a British play that was written called Gaslight. They made it into a movie, a thriller, and there was this guy who was a seemingly nice guy, and he was psychologically manipulating his wife to question her sanity. So what he would do is he would dim the gas-powered lights inside the home or brighten them, and he would secretly do that, and then they would change, and then she was like, you know, did you turn the lights down? And she, he said, no, no, no. And, you know, he would lie to her. And then, or did you turn them up? And she's questioning her own sanity. And what he's doing is trying to get her money, basically, so he can steal from her. So he, she goes off the deep end mentally, and then he can take her money. That was the premise of the play and the and the movie that was made. And it became a term used many, many years later in the political world where people are psychologically trying to manipulate things. So here's some things that you want to look for. An existential threat. An existential threat. You hear that a lot when it comes to climate change, even though they've been saying the same thing. They get, you know, in 12 years, we're going to die. 12 years, this is going to happen. Or 10 years or 30 years or, you know, whatever. It's an existential threat. Then you have an existential threat to democracy. Everything that I'm noticing now that is going on, and I'm not here to promote one party over another. I'm just telling you what each party is saying. I don't trust any of these guys, by the way. You know that? I don't trust any of them. I trust the one who has nail prints in his hands. I'm trying to pick the ones that are more apt to do the job. And I go back to, again, what is the core of this election going to be about? And it's going to be B-O-R. That's it, B-O-R. Border or abortion. Those are the two topics that are going to come to the absolute surface of this whole thing. And we have to pick the candidate who will best represent Scripture's values in this, in stewardship of our country and in stewardship of life. And your job as a believer is to pick the candidate most closely associated to what Scripture says, not the one that you necessarily like because your family likes or that you even agree with politically. You agree with Scripture. And then if the closer, the one who gets the closest to Scripture, it's like horseshoes. Whoever gets the closest to Scripture is the one that we support, period, end of discussion. The further we are from Scripture, the further we need to be away from them with our votes. But gaslighting is when they are manipulating you and they're saying these things. And this is what I'm hearing over and over. There's an existential threat to democracy. There's an existential threat to this. There's an existential threat to this. I mean, they use the word existential just bandied around, you know, like they found it. Look what I found for Christmas this year. And it's their new toy word. And they say these things over and over and over. And eventually you'll start to question your own judgment. And they'll say these things off the cuff. And you challenge them back. It's like that elder that told me, I said, well, tell me what's going on at the church. There's this conflict going on. Tell me, well, it's complicated. Well, so what? I'm smart. You know, my wife's health care is complicated. I think I can handle this. You see what he did there? Well, it's complicated. In other words, you're not sharp enough to know what's going on. Well, that's pretty condescending, don't you think? I mean, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I'm not a total idiot. That some of you, no calls on that one. No calls. No calls. But you see what I'm saying? And then the other guy said, well, you just don't know the history. Well, okay, tell me. I like history. I'm a student of history. Tell me. That's the kind of thing we need to watch for. When these elites who get access to power and they want to be condescending to the rest of those around them. Well, you just be quiet and do what you're told. You eat the manure sandwich and we'll decide in our mercy if we'll let you microwave it. That's the kind of thing we need to be prepared for. We need to learn how to deal with. And in the world I live in as a caregiver, the people I talked about and talked to, I've talked to thousands of caregivers. And you can get easily turned around. You don't know which way is up or down. I know that. And we're often sleep deprived. And that's when another thing, when you're tired and you're weary and you don't really, and you pop off and say things. You know, I talked about that in the second block, that you say things you really regret and you wish you could take back because we're tired and frustrated and stretched and all that kind of stuff. We have got to anchor ourselves in Scripture because that's the only reality. There is no other reality other than the Word of God. If you think differently, well, let me know how that works out for you. Because this heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain. The grass fades, the flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of God shall endure forever. Do we either believe that or we don't? Okay, and if we believe it, let's act on it, and let's commit ourselves to knowing these things. Because who else is going to speak with clarity to this troubled world other than people who know the truth? You want me to say that again? Who else is going to speak with clarity to this troubled world other than people who know the truth? There's an old saying in the, and you say, well, Peter, I'm not qualified. I mean, these people are this, this, this. No, no, no. There's an old saying in the Army that sometimes the leader is the guy that remembers where the Jeep is parked. Sometimes the leader is the guy that remembers where the Jeep is parked. And it could be a buck private telling a five-star general, hey, the Jeep is over here. The general may want to huff and puff, but if the guy knows where the Jeep is, that's the guy that we need to follow right now. He knows where the Jeep is parked. Where is the Jeep parked? Where is truth? Where is reality? In a world that can't decide if men are men. I saw a thing the other day. I got an enormous amount of response to this. And I was just asking a question. Yes, I was being a little bit of a smart aleck about it. I confess, I speak fluent sarcasm. I have four brothers and a sister. I grew up in a large family. We spoke fluent sarcasm, okay? But somebody posted a thing the other day that Kamala Harris had a, Kamala Harris, I can't say your name right. Sorry, I got to say your name right. Vice President Harris was, there was a record shattering number of women on a Zoom call. 164,000 women joined in a Zoom call to do something with her. I don't know what it was. I don't really care. All I did was post a question. Was there a biologist there to confirm it? And because we've got a Supreme Court justice who couldn't answer what a woman was. Marsha Blackburn asked her that from the hearing there, and she couldn't answer the question. I'm not a biologist. I can't. She's on the Supreme Court, or as we like to say, the Supreme Court. We've got a world here that can't even tell what a man and a woman is. We've got a world here that's wanting to mutilate children, and they're pretty serious about it. We got a world here that wants to disrupt the family unit, that is openly mocking the things of God and deriding them. Are we prepared for this? I've spent a lot of time talking with Stu Epperson about these and more issues. And I know that this network is prepared for it. And they are pushing actively on this to prepare us, to train us, so that we're not caught unawares when we're being gaslit, that our sanity is not questioned. And I will leave you with this, because we're getting ready to run out of time here, and I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to get to all the phone calls here, but I'm going to leave you with this. What did Satan do in the garden to Eve? It is the oldest play in his book, and it really is the only play that Satan uses. He questioned the word of God. Did God say, hath God said, if you really are the Son of God, the scriptures say this to Jesus. He said that to him. So the oldest play, and really the only play that Satan uses is to question the word of God. If you'll notice, the closing ceremonies of the Olympics aren't here yet, but I doubt they're going to do anything to mock the Muslim faith. I doubt they'll do that. What do you think? You think they're going to portray Muhammad up there in a derisive tune like they did Jesus? You think that's going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. They're idiots and they're cowards. And they know that this is an easy target for them. But we need to be prepared to stand and deliver truth in the midst of all this nonsense. And they will question the word of God. And it's like that friend of mine said about his friend. He said, well, there's no absolutes. Ask him if he's sure. Because there is an absolute. And that absolute is the very word of God, which we have in our possession. The question is, do we have it in our hearts? Has our mind been conformed to Christ, or are we being conformed to this world? Is the mind of Christ in us? Have we been transformed by the renewing of our mind? And if so, what does that look like? Are we able to go out there now and speak truth to a world that is desperate for it? Are we prepared to avoid being gaslit, where our sanity is called into question because of their deception? Because that's what they're going to do. That's exactly what they're doing. They're doing it every time you see them come on the news. You could just, you could track it with a graph. I mean, it's just astonishing to watch. The name of this program is Truth Talk Live. Okay? And it starts with truth. The name of this network is the Truth Network. I'm Peter Rosenberger. Thanks for the hour today. Thanks for the time. Go out to my website, take a look, hopeforthecaregiver.com, and we'll see you next time.
Truth Talk Live.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.